So, have you recovered from that Times op-ed piece on retirement? The one that said if you make $100,000 a year, you'd better have $2 million saved. Are you still laughing? Well, it's not funny. The op-ed writer says 75% of Americans nearing retirement in 2010 had less than $30,000. $30,000 as opposed to $2 million. Teresa Ghilarducci also testified before Congress in 2008. She says the 401k system, which began 30 years ago as a plan for executives to run their own retirements and has slowly replaced the employer-run system, has failure baked into it, and she's proposing a new system. Teresa Ghilarducci is professor of economics at the New School for Social Research in New York and joins us from the studios of NPR there. Welcome.
Thank you.
What kind of feedback are you getting from this?
That it's very frank. I'm getting very frank feedback, very personal. People really connected to my point that if people are planning, they depend upon a guy. People say, well, I have this guy who tells me how to invest. I have this guy,
the guy.
That tells me what the stock tips are. And they also know, not even deep down, that that guy is not working for them, that that guy is working for some financial firm.
Right.
And so they want to know who the authority is. And these aren't people who are deluded or stupid or not informed financially. They're financially literate, they're well-informed, and they're very responsible. And what I finally told them, and it's not their fault, they can do some things to help them be prepared, but it's the fault of the current system.
And we'll get to more of that, but what's some of the other thinking that Americans have that you find when it comes to retirement? There's a sense that 70 is the new 50, but, you know, 90 is still going to be 20 years away. You know, you're not really 50. And yet people think, what?
So the way people are coping with their lack of resources, a decline in their house value or a 401k that's declined in value, is they tell these stories to themselves. They tell themselves, well, my husband or my wife can keep on working, or I'll always be able to find a job, even if it's a part-time job, or I'm pretty healthy now. They never think that they may get diabetes, which is a very expensive chronic condition. They also have this idea, and I've heard this, I'll go live with Charlie or Mary, usually a daughter, will take me in. I can live in her basement or garage. It's kind of a joke, but it really isn't. The other thing that I've found very moving is people will reveal to me that they'll only live until they're 80, and that becomes their plan, and it's not realistic.
Well, and why don't they have the money? Let's get to that. And why do they need the amount that you recommend? As you say, if you're making $100,000, you need $2 million. If you're making $50,000, I would think that you need $1 million. But I can hear people saying, why would I need $1 million? Why do you need that money?
Yeah, well, so I've heard from people who have $1 million, and they say, I'll barely get by. So the way the statistics are is really projecting how long you can work, what the stock market's going to be. There's about six different assumptions. I took a really high range, you know, 20 times your annual salary, because that's the amount of money you'll need to make sure that you keep exactly the standard of living and you can meet all of your projected medical costs above Medicare.
If you've paid for your home, for instance, you need less.
Exactly. And if you don't have any debt, you'll need less. So the range is really between 10 and 20 above Social Security. Most people are closer to the 10 or 15 range because a lot of people really have decided that they're going to pare down and sort of downscale when they retire. That's a good plan. So I would just stick with you need 10 times.
That brings us down to, you know,
yes,
a million.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so much money.
I know. And we have a retirement crisis facing us. And I hope that policymakers realize that we are going to head into a period of time where this generation of older workers, retirees, are going to be worse off than their parents or their grandparents. The last time we had this problem, we invented Social Security, and the Social Security system has worked really well. It's going to work very well for the next 75 years, but we need a system on top of Social Security. In many areas, I've called it Social Security Plus, but it requires that people not only save a bit more for their retirement, but they save it in a safe and secure place. And right now, U.S. Congress and the president have not provided a safe place for people to keep their money.
Hold that thought. I want to pick up there, but first, there's one little stray thing I don't want to let go of. What is the problem? Is it that the people with the 401ks don't know what they're doing, don't save enough? What's the problem?
If I can do anything with my career, I want to tell people to stop blaming themselves. So let's take a person who does all the right things. They save 5 to 10% of their income every day they work. Their choices to save are in their 401k, if they're lucky enough to even have a 401k. The employer decides whether or not the employer contributes. Half don't. All right, so say your employer puts the money in, chooses a whole host of mutual funds of equities and stocks, then you choose among them. Even if you're smart enough to find out the fees that you're being charged, you can't do anything about the high fees that can take away 20 to 40% of your income.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. 20 to 40% can go to fees?
Yeah, easily. If you had your money in the Social Security system and it built your funds up by just 3%, or you had your money in a defined benefit system like the California State Pension System, and you compared it to the amount of money you'll have for the same amount of savings rate, the same rate of return in a 401k fund or an IRA fund, you'll have 20 to 40% less in the IRA or the 401k fund. And if you just think about it for 2 seconds, the reason is easy. The defined benefit system or the Social Security system has a range of really wholesale products, big, big funds that only sell their investment vehicles to the most sophisticated investors. The poor person in a 401k only has a bunch of retail products, and the difference can erode over a lifetime of work 20 to 40% of your nest egg.
That's astonishing.
And that's being very financially literate. And then you get to a point where you retire. A lot of well-off people who have that $1 million still have a big problem. What to do with it once you retire? Do you go chase the next investment when you really don't have that much more time to live? Many people who even have that $1 or $2 million are very afraid that they're going to live longer than their money or that they won't know where to invest.
In your view, this idea of 401ks or companies moving away from managing pension plans for workers, workers managing them themselves, it has failed. You're suggesting that there be a mandatory, if I got this right, that people be required to go into a government-run program. It would be run by, let's say, the same people who run Social Security, and they would get a tax break for that. Explain more of what your proposal is.
I would require that people save 5% in addition to their Social Security. That money would be their own account. They could add more to it if they would like. They're not required to invest the money in the government plan. They can go to the same retail mutual funds that charge all those fees if they want to. If they go into the government plan, that government plan will get the benefit of being so large they can have a lot lower fees and have the benefit of to have a much wider choice of investments. So already you're ahead.
Because presumably the government is not in this to make money.
Right, that's it. They don't have to actually charge you a fee to make a profit to give it to their executives or to their shareholders.
Teresa Ghilarducci, professor of economics at the New School for Social Research. She wrote that thought-provoking op-ed in The Times saying people who make $100,000 a year should have $2 million to their names when they retire. And to achieve that, as she just said, we need another government-run program on top of Social Security. Well, we have questions, including, in this climate, another government-run program? We'll ask those questions when we come back here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with economist Teresa Ghilarducci about what she says is a pension crisis, millions in the middle class facing poverty. She says the fault is with the 401k system in which employees put in and are sometimes matched by employers. But she says the fees are way too high, that government-run plans have much lower fees. So she says there should be a new government-run plan on top of Social Security, and that the tax breaks for 401k savings should be switched to breaks for moving to this sort of Social Security plus plan. To what, Teresa? Require people to save?
Yeah, they would require to save more.
How do you do that?
That's been what the Supreme Court wondered. How can you make people buy health insurance? You would make people buy a Social Security plus plan. We make people contribute to Social Security. If you're a worker, you can't opt out. You would just make their supplemental plan mandatory as well.
Okay, so it would be out of your paycheck the way your Social Security money is taken out. And just address something that came up when you first proposed this in Congress in 2008. It was interpreted as the government seizing 401ks. You are absolutely not saying that any money that you already have in a 401k would go anywhere but in whatever account you choose.
Right. Bloggers can say anything they want. All the news media and the New York Times that made it the best idea of 2008 knows that it was not about government taking your money. It was about giving more choice to people for their investment advice. There's a bill through the California legislature now that will allow all Californians to invest in the California pension system, CalPERS, if they want to. So I expect that states will start experimenting with the program that I've advocated on the federal level and just do it on the state level. And that's the way we got unemployment insurance. New York did it first, then unemployment insurance became a national plan.
Just to address some of the critics, Rush Limbaugh called you the communist babe, I think. someone else has called you the most dangerous woman in America. Yeah. And the Wall Street Journal asks, look, before entertaining dreams of state-managed retirement accounts, Congress ought to ask why Europe and Latin America have tried so hard to move in the opposite direction. The Wall Street Journal says that their nationally run pension systems are debt-ridden and show an historically lower return.
Yeah, I wish the Wall Street Journal editorial writers have did a little bit more homework. There is no way that I advocate that we have a European-type pension system. Their pension systems aren't advanced funded.
Not advanced funded. What do you mean?
So the European systems are pay-as-you-go, that they promise benefits in the future and hope that future taxpayers can pay for it. I'm advocating that people now, Jane and Joe and you and me, put in money to save for our retirement, and it will accumulate into accounts so that we can draw from that, not the taxpayers, when we retire.
So you're still doing your own savings in your own account.
That's right.
Well, and then another question is that, you say that the accounts aren't being seized. Let me be clear mm-hmm. about that. And people aren't being coerced into doing something. But critics say, yeah, they are. If you take away the tax break for mm-hmm. having 401ks, the deferred taxes on the money mm-hmm. saved, and instead tell people you'll get a tax credit if you switch to these government-run plans, that is, in effect, coercion.
So the bloggers and Rush Limbaugh and people who are paid by the commercial mutual fund firms are very worried about me. They call me dangerous, but I'm not dangerous to Americans. I'm dangerous to their industry and to their profits. I am proposing that the tax break not be taken away, but I am proposing that it be reduced for the people at the very top. So right now, it's the most top heavy tax deduction that we have in the federal tax code. 79% go to the top 20%. All I propose is not to take it away, but to turn it from a deduction to a credit so that everybody gets some help from the federal government through a tax break for their retirement plans.
Right. But how about your proposal to guarantee a rate of return for these government-run
right.
retirement
right.
plans? A group of Republican House members say that is replacing individual ownership and personal responsibility. That's sort of it's the nanny state. We know the phrases that we hear. You seem to be saying that it's reality, that people aren't very good at doing this themselves.
It's impossible for people to be able to get a stable rate of return without the appropriate vehicle. So many Republicans want to take away all social insurance. They were always against Social Security, and maybe they always will. So I don't expect them that they would want the government to help people save their money in a safe way. But more practical people realize that there are already many vehicles where many of us are getting a near guarantee, a guaranteed range of income. So it's not a matter of financial literacy. It is a matter of personal responsibility, but people need to have better choices for investments.
Well, and, there were good, solid Americans in the early part of the last century, and still the Social Security system was developed. And I'm thinking that we're nowhere near where we were socially, culturally, when that happened. Older people are not going home to live with their families. People are not living in the same town where they grew up so that they can take care of extended family. People are really flung around. You know what I'd like to do, Teresa, if it's possible? I'm sure listeners have questions. We just are so up against time here. Can we collect them and forward them to you if they still have questions for you?
Yes, I love to do that.
Well, let's do that then. But meanwhile, how bad is the situation? I'm sure there are people of a certain age looking around and saying, I know so few people who are prepared for retirement. How bad is it?
There's a university-affiliated center in Boston that have predicted that if people want to have enough money before they die, they have to work until 70 or 80. And it's very hard for older people to keep their same job, do the same work, or find work once they get laid off or they have to leave their job. If you can't find work and you have to live on Social Security, you're going to be living on about $5 a day, and you won't be able to meet other expenses. Now, it's better off if you've paid off your house and you're in moderately good health and you have good luck. We are facing a situation where there are going to be a lot of middle-class workers now who are going to find themselves downwardly mobile into a poverty situation. And that hasn't happened in this country for a couple of generations. It happened before Social Security was passed and expanded, and it could happen again.
Teresa Ghilarducci, professor of economics at the New School for Social Research. Professor Teresa, thanks so much.
Thanks. It was really good to talk to you, Robin. I really had a good time.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. If you have questions or comments, you can send them to hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio as usual. But you heard Teresa say she's willing to take your questions. So we're going to set up a live web chat with her at 3 p.m. Eastern Time today. Log on, be there, be square, hereandnow.org at 3 Eastern Time today.